Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what kind of musical instrument is the camanche, and where did it originate? Israeli musicians Barry Sakharov and Rea Mochiach are very popular rock musicians in Israel. Several years ago, they accepted an unusual challenge to set to music the poetry of Shlomo Ibn Gabirol. Ibn Gabirol was the most outstanding Hebrew poet in 11th century Spain and is still considered to be one of the greatest Hebrew writers of all time. The result of the project is the CD Adumei Hasefatot, Red Lips, whose title is taken from one of Ibn Gabirol's poems. The music itself has elements of rock, jazz, and folk, and uses instruments found in all of these genres. As part of the activities to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations between Israel and Spain, Casa Sefarad Israel and the Israeli Embassy organized three concerts in Madrid, Cordoba, and Gabirol's native Malaga, at which Sakharov, Mochiach, and their band performed songs from the CD. In Madrid, the concert took place on June 21st, European Music Day, in the Plaza de Oriente with the Royal Palace in the background. Several hundred people attended, and by the end of the concert, they were dancing in the aisles. We spoke with Rea Mochiach about his own work, the CD, and the group's new project, a biographical film about Ibn Gabirol.
Thank you very, very much for speaking with us. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself first, your own background?
I grew up in a musical family. My dad's a musician, a teacher, a composer, orchestrator, conductor. Grew up in New York and in Tel Aviv and spent another 15 years in New York later on. Did a bunch of projects there. Yeah, always lived in the music life since an early age.
Do you like New York?
I love New York. Yeah, I do.
Compare it to Tel Aviv then, for living in.
Well, you know, it's oranges and apples, basically. It's a totally different thing. New York is all cultures, all melted up together, melted down together. And Tel Aviv is more, it's still cultures, but it's all Jews, basically, you know, with the same moral structure of the Jewish heritage, which is a specific moral structure, you know. In New York, you can run into stuff, into people that grew up on a completely different moral structure. And you cannot argue with it, you know. It's as valid as yours, which is good for opening your mind to other ways of thought and other ways of living, and I think it's important.
What do you mean by that moral structure?
I think every culture is defined by its moral structure, the do and don't do of its heritage, what's important, what's less important, what's right, what's wrong. I think that's what defines a culture at the end of the day. And I think Jews, even if they come from different diaspora, they all share a certain moralistic or moral structure that maybe originated in the old writings and education and stuff through the generations. And that's what basically common to all Jews from all over the world, the moral structure of their heritage. So that's pretty much the difference, I'd say.
Well, tell us a little bit about this group that you're playing here with.
Yeah, this is a project that started about 3 years ago as an initiative from a certain cultural house in Israel. They actually commissioned a project that was based on the writings of Ibn Gabirol, who is considered maybe the greatest Hebrew poet of all times from 1,000 years ago, from the Golden Age in Spain, when Jews and Muslims and Christians had some level of communication. Unlike now. And the fruits of that golden age are evident in the works that came from that period, which are very deep and very thoughtful and very original for that time. And when we started working on that material, my partner Barry Sakharov and myself, we discovered that we're actually dealing with a poet that is talking about topics and ideas and concepts that are still valid to this day in a big way, about greed, about the relationship between human and what he perceives as God, and society, what's important, what's not, again, moral issues. And we found that we really identify with him as if he was writing it today. On top of that, the way he uses the language, the Hebrew language, is amazing. Like, he's like an acrobat of Hebrew. What he does with words, with letters, he's a genius. He's a complete genius. So that's how the project started. We started writing music to his lyrics, to his poems, and as we got deep into the project, the music started to come naturally to those lyrics. It's almost as if the music written itself. Was the fastest project we've ever done. We did a bunch of projects together, and this was the fastest writing process ever, which tells us that the poems were written right, you know, in terms of the rhythm of the lyrics, the rhythm of the words, how they divided into lines and phrases and stuff. It's just perfect. It's like a masterpiece.
Do you think that this poetry was ever put to music before?
I mean, yeah, it was. There are a few attempts, but they were never done in an artistic kind of way. It was always like a kind of, what you call it, like a folkloristic kind of, like, you sing it because you rather sing it than talk it. But it was never an artistic endeavor, attempt.
Did you have any difficulty with the language? I mean, it is 1,000 years old.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure out what songs are about. I mean, we discover layers every time we come in touch with the material. We discover new things, new layers. We're still trying to... yeah, it's very encoded. The message is very encoded. It's not out there. There are many layers. One layer is maybe more understandable, and then you find that there are sub-layers that say something a bit different than what you thought, and it's an ever-going kind of process of understanding those songs.
Is it written all in Hebrew, I mean completely in Hebrew, or do you find an influence of other languages such as Arabic that was there at the time?
Well, the language itself is Hebrew, absolutely, but the style of writing is very much influenced by Muslim writing of that time, which has to do with contrasts. When a song is about a happy topic, supposedly happy, it's the rhythm is kind of more sad, and then the opposite when it's there's lots of contrast. And we found that even before knowing about that style of writing, the music kind of worked that way for the happier songs. We wrote something that's a bit more gloomy. For the sad songs, we were going for the happy side in the music. We found ourselves doing contrast, which we learned later that is typical to that period. So that was another surprise. There were many miracles throughout the process of working on this project.
Did you have to study a lot before you began this or while you were doing it, or did it just kind of come naturally?
Yeah, we didn't study much. We let the work kind of unfold. We let the process unfold and discover itself while process. We didn't want to come to it as scholars, as people who are intellectual about it. We wanted to go on an emotional level, and whatever we understand, we understand, and what we don't understand, we don't, or we think we understand. Or we didn't want to get too intellectual about it. And as I said, we're still learning, but not from books, sitting and reading books. We just by singing it and performing it, we learn it.
You said that you were approached by these people who wanted to do this project.
Yeah.
Had you worked with poetry before?
I've worked with lyrics all my life. I mean, many of my projects were like songs projects. So, yeah, the writing music to lyrics is not a new experience for me. Poetry, like proper poetry?
Yeah.
Not really, uh-huh. Myself, no. But I've been reading some poetry, and for me, I don't care what it's called, if it's poetry or popular writing or whatever. It's all words for me.
Can you tell us something about the group, the instruments that are played, and how the music sounds?
Yeah, it's a large ensemble. It's a 10-piece. And the way I approached it from the writing standpoint is I wanted to take Eastern / Arabic / Oriental elements, but treat them as if they were like modern Western music, like John Cage or one of those modern composers, in a cold manner, because those scales and colors are usually very emotional in performance as well. The Eastern, the Oriental stuff is very emotional usually in performance time. And I wanted the opposite. I wanted a cold performance with Oriental elements. I wanted to see how this contrasts. Again, contrasts, as you see, it's another one. So I chose some instruments that are Eastern and some are Western. So there's oud, which is a string instrument. It's like an ancient guitar. Yeah. And there are some woodwinds, like there's clarinet, which is modern, it's Western. But it also has to do with like North Europe, like East Europe, I mean, like klezmer stuff. And there's Eastern percussion, and then there's Western percussion player, who plays like a symphonic orchestra's percussion instruments. There's a second vocalist who is amazing. There's a keyboard player who plays piano and synthesizer, which are definitely Western. And then there is a guy who plays an instrument called kamanche, which is the origin of violin from Persia. It's a Persian instrument that originated hundreds of years ago in Persia, Paras. And then there's bass, upright bass, which is a string instrument, but it's already associated with the West. So it's a total and electric guitar and a drum kit, which I play in this band, because when there's no conductor, the drummer is the conductor, so I have to be the conductor. So it's a mixed group. It's like it's an East and West group completely.
Is everybody Israeli?
Yes, in this group, yeah.
This record, this CD, came out a couple of years ago. How has it been received?
Surprisingly well, because considering the weight of the material, it's not light. The material is by no stretch light material. It's very deep and it's heavy. And surprisingly, it sold very well, and it was played quite a lot, and the reviews were outstanding. And I think that's what gave us the energy to push this project, because it's almost impossible to do these concerts, because the orchestra is so big, and it's made of the best musicians around, so they're also expensive. They're not cheap musicians. So it's really difficult to do something like this. Usually, situations like this are backed by some organization or something, like classical music have all those, that's the support from the government or from God knows what. They have committees for classical music or ballet or that sort of stuff. But we don't have any support. So just because the audience were so much into it, it gave us the energy to push it with all our strength. So we're managing to get some concerts going.
Can someone who speaks Hebrew understand it?
Yes, not all layers, probably. I mean, the people who are more accustomed to the material obviously can. People who are not, they're going to pick up, for example, there's a song called, I'll translate it real quick, it's like Bless You, that's the name of the song, and he's blessing and blessing and blessing, and you think that he's talking to God, but actually he's talking to the wine boy, the boy who brings the wine. So, because he was an alcoholic, Gabirol, and he was gay, many scholars say, and he was a controversial person, and a lot of his songs are against all this holiness that's about the relationship with God and all that, being politically correct of that time. He's against that. He's like, come on, people, like, be real, stop with the... He thought that a lot of the stuff is pretentious and is not real, and it's just overdoing it. He was a real questioning person. He questioned a lot of stuff that people did not question back then. They were afraid of questioning. That's why he was chased out of his town, of his city, Saragossa. He was banned from being there. And he had a difficult life. He became this famous guy many, many years after his death, like many great people who are ununderstood during their time. So that was another reason we wanted to deal with that character, because it's really easy to follow people who tell you what you want to hear. It's harder to deal with people who bring new ideas that are not comfortable. you know. And we, coming from rock and roll and jazz, we believe in people who bring the uncomfortable truth. We don't care about the comfortable truth. It's not for us.
Is Ibn Gabirol studied a lot in Israel? I know you were asked to do this by other people, but how did they or did you come to this? In other words, do they know he was a maverick, or do they just think of him as being this wonderful poet and you kind of discovered that yourselves?
Well, as I said, you can analyze his songs in many ways because they're multi-layered. So I'm sure that a lot of he's being taught in school. Okay, let's start by saying, yeah, he's taught and he's in the program in schools in Israel. So everybody studies his songs. But I doubt if the teachers really go into the darker elements in his writings, because he was very dark. And I don't think that the teachers there go there. I don't think they do. I think they just go on the upper crust of what he wrote and kind of analyzing it the way they want to see it, in the more conservative way, to work for them, for the system. The system usually takes stuff, incorporates stuff to support itself, and I'm sure that the system does it here as well. But I think coming from us, both Berry and myself, we have a name of being counterculture. So I think coming from us, people hear other stuff in it. And also, we put out the CD in a booklet kind of format with the analysis of the songs, the real analysis, the darker analysis, not the conservative analysis. So people are starting to open up and realize that this guy is not just this old man we have to study again. Oh, not again. Suddenly it's a valid character. So, yeah.
Can you tell us something about what you're working on now or any plans for the future?
Actually, there are several things. I have an orchestra that's doing music that is improvised within rules instead of written music, which is something that I'm very interested in. The music is not written, but there are rules to follow. That's one thing. Another thing is just like a homage project that I'm doing for this very important guy in Israeli culture and theater and stuff. He died recently, and there's a homage record that I'm producing. We're starting to produce a movie about Gabirol, and we're actually starting shooting here these 3 days, and that's the beginning of the shooting of the video, the movie actually, not the video. And what else? Actually, I'm starting soon to use this ensemble from this project to start deal with other texts that are old and controversial. So it seems like in a few years, it looks like this thing is going to be like a house for the same endeavor from different angles.
Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
That's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. I'll leave you now with one of the songs from Adumei HaSefatot. It's called Katav Stav, Winter Wrote. See you next week.